This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Rich Bradbury, and this is Enterprise Biz Bytes on Friday, the 17th of December, 2021. I've been joined in the studio by my colleague, of course, it is...
Christine Wong.
We're going to be with you for about an hour here on the show. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Get us over on Twitter as well. We're at BFM Radio, where we are running a poll asking this question.
We are asking you, how long does it usually take for your online purchases to arrive? And on Twitter, we've got a couple of options. We've got 2 to 3 days, 4 to 5 days, more than a week, and I don't shop online.
If those of you that are saying you don't shop online, that was me just like a year and a half ago, but now I'm becoming and have become one of those.
That's still me now.
Yeah, I still shop way too much online, Chris.
I don't shop online.
Why is that?
I don't have anything that I need to buy online, or if the things I want to buy generally are like things I need to see in real life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Over the past couple of years, though, bigger players within the e-commerce supply chain have started to recognize the value of good last-mile delivery practices as consumers continue to shop online and demand faster deliveries. E-commerce platforms and brands have started to leverage new technology and data to help them cater to those needs, creating a last-mile gold rush. So we're going to be talking about that, and we've been speaking about it every few months on this show, and that's because the process is constantly changing and being enhanced to cater to growing customer demand. Obviously, online shopping and e-commerce has seen massive growth in the last couple of years because of the pandemic. This sudden shift has caused retailers and e-commerce platforms to rethink delivery times and how to smoothen the last mile ecosystem. We'll come back to a more local context in a little bit, but according to a study by Pitney Bowes, 55 million parcels are shipped in the US every single day, and the latest data from Convey suggests that 17% failed to reach their destination on time, which translates into approximately 9 million parcels per day.
Mm-hmm. And parcels get delayed when bottlenecks are created. So parcel volume increased by 37% in 2020 and is projected to double within 5 years. Now, the truth is that the problems within the supply chain, transportation and logistics industries that contribute to bad deliveries have always existed, but have become a major focus recently because of the pandemic.
Mm.
As a result, investors and technologists are flocking to the markets to try and seize on those opportunities. And venture investors actually came late to the supply chain party, which is amazing given the trillions of dollars in e-commerce shipments that move through the US annually. The industry just wasn't like sexy enough, I guess, and was mostly dominated by corporations, legacy systems, and razor-thin margins.
What we're experiencing worldwide at the moment, though, is this last-mile gold rush, which we just mentioned. It's basically an outsized focus on finding a way to get packages to consumers faster and more reliably than ever before. The last mile has become the public-facing battleground for every company trying to get products into customers' hands fast enough to avoid a trip to the store. However, according to this article on Forbes, to ensure the right product gets to the customer fast every single time, you have to get the first mile right. The problem is the solutions designed to connect the supply chain rely on data extracted from warehouse management systems, WMS, that create a plan but can't account for degradation in that plan. Supply chain leaders also know that human errors happen at a critical handoff point in a parcel's journey. There are limited or sometimes zero checks and balances when packages are handed off to carriers and drivers. The system assumes that everything happens as planned. Basically, multiple constituents work together to move goods without the benefit of shared information, constant recalibration, and live updates. So not only is data siloed, but the supply chain is disconnected. And this is the root cause of why that package was late.
Yeah, so Forbes lists two ways to improve the first mile in order to improve the last mile, and the points are quite interesting. Number one is audit only what ships. By verifying exactly what leaves a shipper's facility and when it departs, we can immediately upgrade the consumer experience.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can stop announcing when a label was printed and instead start the delivery timeline when the package actually hits the road.
Right.
And number two is share the audit data. Every stakeholder should have access to the actual shipment data and not just the plan. By sharing the data, you can connect the siloed organizations and provide earlier visibility into packages as they really ship and improve on-time delivery rates in the process.
Okay, after the break, we'll be getting in touch with P. Sonal Singh, the Chief Logistics Officer of Lazada Malaysia, to talk about local last mile trends. They also recently launched a multi-channel logistics service, an MCL, to help e-commerce e-commerce providers and brands meet the needs of online sales smoothly. We're also going to have a bit of a chat about how long does it take for your orders to arrive, of course, because that is the question that we're asking. How long does it usually take for your online purchases to arrive? Get us over on Twitter. There's a poll running over there. So far, 4 to 5 days is in the lead. I wonder if we can alter that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to take a short break with some music from the Rolling Stones. I can't get no satisfaction here on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Brave, free, Malaysia, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes on this Friday, the 17th of December, 2021. Not the best of days outside. Grotty, grey, and all of that horrible stuff here in TTDI. I'll put my teeth in. TTDI. Now, it is coming up to the weekend, of course, and some of you might be sitting at home thinking about ordering a few things online, because, you know, if you're doing some Christmas shopping or whatnot. And so because of that, and on top of what we're also talking about, we're asking how long does it usually take for your online purchases to arrive? Chris, can you give us an update on the numbers over on the poll?
I can indeed. So leading the pack at 49.1% is 4 to 5 days, followed by 2 to 3 days at 31.6%, then followed by more than a week at 14%, and don't shop online at 5.3%.
Now, we're talking about this because over the last couple of years, bigger players within the e-commerce supply chain have started to recognize the value of good last-mile delivery practices. You know, consumers continue to shop online and demand faster deliveries. Some of those e-commerce platforms and brands have started to leverage new technology and data to help them cater to those needs, creating this last-mile gold rush. Who have we got on the phone, Chris?
We have P. Sunil Singh, Chief Logistics Officer of Lazada Malaysia, on the phone. Thank you so much for staying online with us. Now, what are some consumer trends that you'd like to highlight in terms of last mile logistics? And what are e-commerce platforms and businesses doing to accommodate these trends?
Okay, so what we can see from our customer perspective, I think they are much more open now to actually purchase something online. With the whole entire pandemic that happened over the last 1-2 years, you can see people are actually much more adaptable to it. They are much more inclined to actually purchase online. However, the demand out of it now is, yeah, but they want it now. They're not willing to wait for it or wait for it too long. So that has shifted. Where previously people buy online, it's more to look for good discounts, but they're willing to wait. Now the expectation is that if I buy online, I want it now. So the trend is moving much more to that, more to that instant service requirement. And that's what we are shifting towards as well.
And what would you say are some of the biggest challenges faced by e-commerce platforms and businesses here in Malaysia when it comes to last mile delivery?
One of the biggest challenges is you have got a lot of platforms that's actually booming up now. Now, from a seller perspective, they obviously want to sell through multiple channels. I mean, they want to get into as much of the buyer's market as possible. However, when it comes to a fulfillment side of it, they have to do it either by themselves because they can't really outsource it because it's actually working with very different platforms. So that is, I think, one of the challenges that is actually faced by the sellers and the businesses in order to grow into e-commerce. Now, Lazada, what we're doing is actually providing that solution. We call it MCL, which is a multi-channel logistics. What we do is, we allow the sellers actually to store the items with us. We fulfill their orders irrespective of the platform that they're getting it from. And we then do actually the operational side of it, of actually delivering the packages to the customers. So this bridges the gap and allows the businesses to even grow much more rapidly in the e-commerce space than what they used to do previously.
Mm-hmm. So how does efficient last mile delivery benefit businesses? And what kind of a difference does it make in terms of profits and losses?
Now, last mile delivery is where the customer is actually facing and receiving the physical aspect of the service. You can go online, you can shop, you can do your comparisons, you got the best discounts that you can buy. But eventually, the experience that you really feel is when you actually get the items or the services, in our case, the packages that you're receiving in your hand. And that's going to be important. Now, it's not only the interface part about the exchange when we are actually giving it to the customers, but what we need to do is we need to condense all the other activities for the physical aspect from the fulfillment side of it, the first mile operation, the sortation to the last mile, to put it as close as we can towards the buyer so the buyer can actually get it as fast as they can and with the quality that they do expect. Now, what does this mean in terms of profitability side? Buyers are looking for fast service and as cheap as possible. So by doing so, what we are also doing is making sure we're doing the package as quickly as we can, but also as cheaply as we can, because we have already positioned the items very close to the buyer and the occurrence of the logistic cost on the final mile is actually much more smaller. Now, in the near future, the way that, the vision that we have is customers are expecting to leave the home, be at work, buy something, and by the time that they come back home, they actually get it. Now, especially when we start talking about essential products, we start talking about things that they actually require from their grocery or as simple things as a shower gel. You're not going to end up buying, even though it's cheaper, but wait, another 3 days before you actually get it. These are things that you actually do require. So our vision for the future is to make sure that we actually bridge that gap so closely that what we want from an experience perspective is somebody can actually buy in the morning and actually get it by end of the day. And they do not have to pay a very high cost in order to do that. So hence why we need to position it as closely as we can towards the buyer. So not only we can give it fast, but we can give it cheap. Today, the logistic cost is actually borne. It's either borne by the platform operators, it's borne by the buyer to some degree and to the sellers to some degree. Now, what we are trying to do is make sure to grow the volume, to scale it up. But through that efficiencies and the way that we are trying to engage the last mile delivery component side of it, so that is to reduce the cost so that it reduces the burden on either the seller thinking they have to actually fork it up or actually pay for it in order to incentivize somebody to buy from them if the cost is not actually translated towards the buyer. Or in that sense, a buyer decision-making point, thinking about I can walk down to the shop, but now I got to pay an extra amount to actually get it. So from a percentage perspective, I would say an overall reduction that we are looking at, at least say over the next 3 years horizon, we should actually try to half the logistic cost if you're really trying to make this, into a viable proposition. We got to look at it as the holistic space. It's not just on the delivery side of it, but coming back to the point that I was making through the multi-channel logistic model and positioning the stock as closely as we can. So this would reduce what a seller need to actually put up upfront through their infrastructure and the logistic costs that they do incur from a centralized fulfillment center by allowing operators like us to actually hold on to their stock, manage it for them. And because we do have the volumes, we can do it actually much more effectively.
Okay, great. Hold that thought. We need to take a short break. I think when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about technology and IR 4.0. Let's have a chat about that when we come back. Folks, don't forget, we are asking you a question. It is, how long does it usually take for your online purchases to arrive? You have a few options, 2 to 3 days, 4 to 5 days, more than a week, or you don't shop online. Get voting over on Twitter. We're going to take a short break here with some music from Garbage with I'm Only Happy When It Rains, ironically, and we'll be back in just a few moments here on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Burger, fries, Milo, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back, folks. You're tuned in to Enterprise Biz Bytes with me, Rich Bradbury, and
Christine Wong.
We're talking about logistics and how long your online purchases take to arrive. And because over the last couple of years, bigger players within the e-commerce supply chain have started to recognize the value of good last-mile delivery practices. We're asking you that question. How long does it take? We've got a few options. 2 to 3 days, 4 to 5 days, more than a week, and some of you don't shop online yet. I'm calling Christine out here. I used to be that person, I was that person like you who would just be, I have to go to the shop, I have to make sure it's in stock, I have to buy it, and I have to take it home that day.
Well, it's also just because I'm just trying not to buy as much stuff because I don't, you know, that's not my budget, man.
Yeah, yeah. That was also me too. Uh-huh. And I would sit on my hands. I'm like, I don't really need that.
Yeah, I don't need it.
I don't really need that. And then you see something on TV or whatever, you're like,
oh no,
maybe I could do with that.
I have to resist. Yeah, I need gas money.
But it's your fault that I've ended up with a pressure cooker at home. You know, that was a discussion that we had here in the studio. I didn't need one, but now I've got one. And I'm like,
I simply suggested a model that I knew was good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm going to start doing that to you with things as well. Anyway, we do have on the line with us P. Sunil Singh. He's the Chief Logistics Officer for Lazada Malaysia. We've been speaking to him for a little while earlier. Now, Sunil, in terms of IR 4.0, how are concepts like data, artificial intelligence, and, you know, things like IoT changing the way consumers and businesses apply and interact with last-mile connectivity?
Artificial intelligence and data mining, now that is something that is a very useful tool that we actually use to understand how do we actually predict consumer trends, buying behaviors, buying frequency, distances, locations. The objective, what we are trying to do is to make sure that we reduce the travel time for a package from the point that it's actually getting ordered to the point that it's actually getting delivered. And how do we actually group the orders much more effectively so that they can minimize the cost that's actually incurred by the buyers? And the other thing that, of course, we try to do with that is understanding when the buyers actually prefer the shipments to be delivered, trying to get it right the first time. So this information that we use through data mining, using artificial intelligence, it helps us to predict the trends much more better, help us to manage our operations much more effectively. All in all, this is all helping us to lead to a much more efficient operations, therefore a reduction in cost and an improvement in our lead time, making things much more faster. So that's a benefit that we have got, and we have actually launched our whole entire IT infrastructure, which is actually built. It's called Apollo. That has already been over a year plus, and we're building more tools and modules around it to help us to actually mine the data and predict and help us to actually manage our operations much more effectively. Now, from a mechanization principle on the automation side of things, now automation, as what it is there, it is tools. It is tools to help us and help the operators that we do have today to be much more efficient, to be much more productive, and therefore to improve the skills that's actually required, which means they end up actually earning, you know, a higher income out there in the market. So we end up paying them much more, or they get better opportunities in the market. But this is helping the Malaysia labor market actually to upskill itself quite you know, drastically. So that is what automation also does for us. It helps us to increase the productivity of a person. They can do much more than what they could do before. But at the same time, it upgrades their skill and make them much more marketable in the labor market as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that transport and logistics employees will be replaced eventually by technology?
Now, for the last mile side of it, you know, the human interaction, human touch will always be there. Now, the robotic side of things and the automation side of things is to help us, example, to sort a package much more better, to use intelligence, to use predictive modeling to decide what the package should be going to which drivers, help the drivers to actually plan their routes much better. And there could be supporting tools that's provided to the drivers so they can actually deliver things much more faster. So this is, again, is to actually enhance the ability of our people so they can do much more than what they are doing today and therefore earn more money than what they're doing today. So it is not to replace them. It is actually to allow them to use these tools so they can actually earn more income in the future. And along with that, the skills that's now required, because the tools that's been provided to them require them to be upskilled. This also requires the whole entire job market. I mean, Lazada is leading the way. We are actually developing our people internally. But as the market progresses, we need to upskill all our labor force so they can actually be better prepared to use automation in the future. Now, I think it is very nice that technology is coming in place, but how do we actually translate that into something that can do things to scale? And do remember that eventually people are still looking to make sure that whatever they buy, they actually can get it fast and cheap. Now, if you think about it, say from a drone side of it, it can carry a single package or maybe a few packages at the same time to go. But from a cost principle on the number of trips it could actually make to drop it off, it's still not really highly scalable yet. So, and even if that has, like what I mentioned earlier, it's more to supplement And to do certain pockets where maybe it's hard to reach areas where it's better served using drones. But for others, high density areas, the correct operating model today would still be actually using a human operator in order to do that. But now we still need to think about how do we actually provide them with the better tools to enable them to actually do their work much more faster and better. So you may end up seeing to some degree, you may end up having maybe a robot that's accompanying a person in order to do certain activity because it can carry the heavier loads. But I think, yes, that's where the future might end up leading into. It might be about how robotics complement, not replace.
Okay, one more question for you then. How can larger platforms like Lazada maintain efficient logistics and last-mile delivery as merchants, consumers, and demand continue to grow?
Lazada has been on a growth trajectory. Year on year, we have been more than doubling up the total of transactions that's actually occurring on our platform. We have increased the number of sellers that is on our platform. We have increased tremendously the amount of buyers. Now, how do we keep up the pace of growing so rapidly? We have broken it out into smaller chunks, and we never lose sight on what actually the buyers are looking out of it. They are always looking at having quality products. They're looking at things being genuine. They're looking at speed, and they're looking at the cost that they have to pay in order to get their packages. So what do we do is we break it up into smaller chunks and we make sure that whatever building blocks that we build around is making sure that we have the scale around it, making sure that we can actually deliver as fast as we can. So we try to shorten the journey between a seller and a buyer as much as we can. And we are very cost sensitive. And what we do is to try to grow the volumes into that small pocket at an optimum level so it reduces the cost. So we are always focusing on economies of scale. So that is basically our secret sauce on how we're actually managing this rapid growth.
Thank you very much for that. That was P. Sunil Singh, the Chief Logistics Officer over at Lazada Malaysia. Folks, we've been asking you, how long does it usually take for your online purchases to arrive? Final numbers then over on Twitter. Chris, do you want to give us the final numbers?
Yes. So final numbers is 4 to 5 days, 49.6%, 2 to 3 days, 31.6%, more than a week, 13.7%, and don't shop online at 5.1%. We've also got Esiku who says, if possible, I buy from a merchant in the same state as me. Mm-hmm. KH says, typically local shops will send out pretty quick. China shops will take longer. Best check your seller's origin before checking out. And Eric says, depends on the courier, to be honest. Things from China can arrive faster than local products because some couriers can't deliver fast enough and it's in their depot for days, while others can deliver in the next working day.
If you want to know who Eric's referring to, head over to our Twitter. It is at BFM Radio. We've had a couple of messages over on WhatsApp, starting off with Maggie Best. Maggie says, I've started to shop online wherever there is someone available to help me ascertain whether... Excuse me. Phew. Oh, my word. There we go. It's because it's raining outside, Chris.
Yeah.
I'll start that
You're
again.
You're allergic to British weather.
That's right. Maggie has said, I've started to shop online whenever there is someone available to help me ascertain whether the vendor is trustworthy. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, some of the offers are rather tempting, but I am still not happy with the fact that I have to wait 4 to 5 days and sometimes have to wait for a couple of weeks. I much prefer to have possession of my purchases the moment I have paid up, which is why I think my online shopping would be rather restricted to extremely good bargains and trustworthy sellers. Thanks very much for sharing, Maggie. Now, we have come to the end of our show, but if you did miss any part of this show, don't forget you can download the podcast wherever you normally listen to it from. We recommend the BFM app. It's available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. Me and Chris are going to say goodbye for this week. Next week in the studio it will be Frida, but we'll also be giving you a whole bunch of reruns and some retrospectives of some of our favorite shows throughout the last year. We've got some replays of Open for Business, some replays of Tech Talk, and of course some of the best bits of Enterprise Biz Bytes. That's all coming up from next week. However, coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it's the Breakfast Grill replay. Nano Malaysia Berhad is a company limited by guarantee under the Ministry of Science, Technology and Innovation, MOSTI, of course. CEO Dr. Rizal Khairi bin Ahmad spoke about nanotechnology commercialization in Malaysia. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. On behalf of myself, Rich Bradbury, and Christine Wong, this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.